Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, good morning. Hour number two, Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri. Albert's off this morning. All things legal for a special July the 5th. Edition of All Things Legal, and we got Elwin on the line. But before we go to Elwin, got two other fun facts about 4th of July.
Okay, I'm
Number
ready.
Number one, only two people actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, and that was John Hancock and Charles Thompson.
Hmm.
The rest of the crew signed it on August 2nd.
Wow.
When the colonies ratified the Declaration of Independence. It's important for people to learn history.
Because
they're not teaching it right now. So I'm doing my part.
On your soapbox.
On my soapbox. Is that a soapbox? I love history.
I know you do.
It's great.
I know. You would be a great history teacher, too.
Yeah, I might do that.
You can do that in your second career.
And here's the second fact on 4th of July that Albert appreciates.
Okay.
This is something that Albert holds dear. On July 4th, 1778. General George Washington ordered a double ration of rum for his soldiers to celebrate the holiday. So that would be something that Albert would really appreciate. I knew he liked. He's got a big picture of George Washington I always wondered why he had such an affinity for George Washington. Now I know. So there you go. All right. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Elwin. He's got a question regarding domicile. Hey, Elwin, you and All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri.
Good morning, Elwin.
How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Look, if you lay down the rules of your house, okay, and they break the law, they break your rules, can you go to court without having them having the summons to move from your house? Can the police remove them from breaking the rules in your house?
Let me ask you who they are.
Yeah, who is they?
Well, no, I'm just saying in general. I'm asking the question in general. Can you take it to the Supreme Court and challenge that law?
No, because your rules are not the law of the land.
The rules of your house. Every house have rules in it. I'm sure your house have rules in it.
They have rules in our house. Yeah. Well,
if they're broken, the person have to be removed. Correct.
No.
Y'all remove that person, right?
No.
Not legally. I mean,
You can have your own rules of your house,
but they're not enforceable by an heir of the law.
In other words, if you got kids who don't clean up their room, you can't call the police and tell them to get out.
No. I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about grown folks.
Now, the grown folks, if you have somebody who's living with you, generally, and you want them out for whatever reason, you have a right.
You have a right to evict them.
Now, if they have established, but you have to go
to the eviction court to have them evicted.
Yes, if evicted.
But why can't the police have them removed?
Because the people who are staying there are entitled to some due process. In other words, if you have, it commonly happens when a couple's shacking up, okay? When they're cohabitating. Let's say, a guy and a girl, they live together. And then one owns a house and one wants the other out. And a lot of those circumstances, you just can't tell them to get out and have it enforced. What you'd have to do is serve a formal eviction notice, and then if the person doesn't get out, which is awkward, but it occasionally happens, and then and then, you know, you go to court and you get them evicted. You have to follow a process. So, or if you have a guest who became permanent and lived there and established a residence there as a guest for an extended period of time, not for a couple of days, but maybe for months, and you want to get them out, and they refuse to, the legal process of doing that was serving them with an eviction notice, giving them 5 days to get out. If they don't get out, you go to Justice of the Peace, and you file a petition for eviction. So that's the process.
And it depends on what they do, right? It depends on what they have done.
Well, if they break the law, you could probably get them out sooner. I mean, if they're doing something to
break
the law.
I mean, it depends on what they have done inside of your house.
Yeah,
like breaking
so.
Up stuff
that's fair.
You can evict someone and they don't have to have done anything. You are just the owner of the property,
yeah,
and you're wanting
property.
To take back possession of the property.
No, what I'm saying, if they're breaking up stuff and causing you a problem to pay for it and causing problems for you.
You can evict them, and then if you have a damage claim against them, then you can file for a damage claim.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to see, could you go to the Supreme Court and have that law turn the other way around?
Well, yeah, that was...
Because you're supposed to be responsible for your guests in your house, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not giving us enough specific facts to answer the question, to be honest.
But guests is temporary.
Yeah, but here's the thing I can ask you. Here's the thing I want to ask you, and then I'll let you go. But housing authorities say you are responsible for your guests in your house. So, therefore... I think you should have full control over that person if they break the rules in your house and break the law that you have provided and you have told them about. You don't want that done. They should be removed from your house.
The question is whether they're a permanent guest or not. Do they live there or not? And, you know, if
yeah, it's not a black and white answer.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
All right, my man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Who we got on the line next, Doug? Michael, you on All Things Legal with Doug Sinceri, Michelle Demarest Sinceri. Michael, what you got for us, brother?
Good morning. Happy holidays.
I was just calling
to ask a quick question. Are you all familiar with NORA, the organization here that handles property, sales property, things of that nature, NORA, N-O-R-A?
Vaguely. What question
Well,
do you have?
Well, the question is, I purchased a property from NORA, one of those sales from NORA. It's been probably 6 years now, 7 years now, and it states in their contract, and obviously I didn't know this, and I guess I fault myself because the paperwork is like 2 inches thick, but it states that after a certain period of time, if the property that you purchase isn't habitable, meaning all the way fixed up or what have you, I guess they can perhaps try to come and retrieve it or take it from you. And I was just wondering how enforceable was that.
Well, I mean, I think the NORA programs, New Orleans Redevelopment Authority, I think what they do is they have certain blighted property, and there's conditions about if you fix up the property and do a certain plan, you can obtain ownership of it. Is that the program you're referring to?
Yeah, I bought it. I mean, I bought it outright and things of that nature.
Well,
it's paid for in full and everything.
Yeah, I think basically what you have to do is follow the covenants within that particular property to have, full acquisition of it. So, so usually when you do those type of it's usually properties that are in need of rehabilitation. And in connection with that, is they have certain conditions of rehabilitation, and if you do that, then you'll be able to have the property at a greatly discounted or nominal price, because they want to put the property back into commerce, because previously it was out of commerce because it's dilapidated. So
that's true.
So what you'd want to do on those particular properties is you follow the covenants, and you got a big long agreement that said, okay, I'm going to take possession of this property. This is what I need to do. In order to get ownership of this property and own it outright, you need to follow certain conditions. And that's what I'm not saying it's that simple, but that's basically what you need to do.
Even though it's paid for and paid in full.
Yeah. I think there's conditions to it. I mean, You probably bought it for the amount of outstanding taxes, is my guess.
No, it wasn't taxes.
It was for a discounted amount. Right.
Oh yes.
Yes, I mean for nominal. So you follow those conditions, and then it gets put back into commerce in some form or fashion. But you know, the conditions of it are in the four corners of the purchase agreement.
Corners and the 2-inch.
Thing. I see.
And the 2-inch thing. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Y'all have a great one. Bye bye.
All right, my man. Thanks
for
the call.
Dude,
Doug, you want to go to a commercial right now? Let's go to a break if we can do that. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. All right, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, all things legal. You can also call us at a law firm in South Shore at 504-95837-1304, 504-837-1304. And if you're in God's country in St. Mandeville.
985-624-9697.
That's Mandeville-Covington.
Mandeville-Covington.
Robert.
On the foot of the bridge, Robert.
Madisonville.
Tangi.
Washington
Parish.
Talisheek and all of God's country. All right. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Valerie. She's got a question regarding rental property and getting a tenant out. Hey, Valerie, you and all things legal with Doug Cinceri and Michelle Demers Cinceri. Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
How are you? You got a rental property. Tell me about your rental property and what you want.
Yes, I have a rental, and I was wondering, my tenant no longer has a lease, and I was just wondering what would I have to do to remove the tenant so that I could renovate the home and move back in it.
When you say that tenant no longer has a lease, the lease is expired?
Correct.
So you're going month to month lease.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, what you're going to have to do is serve her with an eviction notice. You got to give her first of all, you got to send her a notice saying that that you're not going to renew the month to month lease because it's an oral month to month lease. I believe it's 10 days if I'm not mistaken.
I think it is 10 days.
It's 10 days before the end of the month. And then I'd send her a notice saying that I'm not intending to renew our month-to-month lease at least 10 days before the expiration of the lease.
Okay.
And then at the end of the month, you put a notice of eviction on her door, which advises her that she has 5 days to leave the premises. If she doesn't leave within that 5 days, what parish are you in?
St. Charles.
Okay, you could go to Justice of Peace in the locale that covers your rental property and file a petition for eviction.
Okay.
In fact, if you call the Justice of Peace, you just go on the internet and find out who your Justice of Peace is in St. Charles Parish. You call them up and say, I want to do an eviction. He'll either, they might email you the form, or you can go over there and pick one up and you fill it out. So the first thing you want to do is give notice.
Make sure you give notice that in a way that you can prove that you gave notice.
Right. So what you do is when you post, first of all, when you send the letter, I would send it either certified mail or hand. If you do it hand delivery, I would either post it on the door or document the fact that she had received it. Maybe you can shoot a picture. When you do the notice of eviction, you can get the notice off the internet. Just put notice of eviction, Louisiana, and you could probably pull a form off the internet. And then you post it to the door, and then you take a picture of that. If she doesn't get out within 5 days, I would call the Justice of Peace, get a petition for eviction, and then you should be able to get a date. What you'll do is you'll fill it out. I don't know if it's going to cost $100. You'll serve the tenant who's in your rental property, and they'll give you a hearing date. And on a hearing date, it's sort of like the people's court. You show up, except it may be in the back of someone's home or someone's office, and then you'll have a little proceeding on the eviction.
Okay.
Sounds
good.
All right. Thanks.
I told the story. Mm-hmm. This was before cell phones, mm-hmm. and this was when I was a young attorney working for Bill Becknell 31 years ago, and he had sent me to do an eviction. And he gave me the address of the Justice of Peace. So I got the address, and I showed up at a tire car repair and tire shop. And so before cell phones. So I called Bill at what is known as a phone booth, you millennials. And for you millennials, what you used to have to do is if you had to make a phone call and you were not at home where you couldn't call from your office or home where they had like a wire that stuck into the wall.
Why do you do that?
You'd go to a phone booth and you would put a quarter into a phone and you'd make a phone call. So that's just, you know, we have
just
probably
a
handful of millennials who listen to us. And so I called Bill at the office. I said, Bill, I said, the address you gave me was like a, you know, Firestone or a Goodyear tire store or something. It's not a courthouse. He said, no, you're at the right place. He says, go in there and tell them that you're there to do the eviction. So I walk in there. I see a guy working under the, he had the car up on the elevated thing. I'm not a mechanic kind of dude, but, and he had, you know, he was all greasy and he had his little thing. And I said, I'm looking for the justice of the peace. He said, you found him.
Did he wipe his hands off? And
wiped his hands off and we went in the back. So my point in saying is that the justice of the peace, there's probably six or seven of them in Tammany Parish. There's a couple of them probably in St. Charles Parish. They handle things that are for evictions in matters that are less than $5,000.
But you're not going to find all justices of the peace.
No. But you see, the lawyers, and you know, 30 years ago from Kenner will say, I know who that is. I forgot his name, but he was a good guy, and he cleaned himself off and went in the back, and we did the eviction. So that's just.
Yeah, it's always interesting to be in front of a justice of the peace.
Yes, yes. So some of them are in the back of their house. Mm-hmm. They'll have some that will have like a garage.
Right.
Or office that's set off in the back of the house, and you walk in there, and they have their stuff.
Right.
Some have at the office. Some have another business that's attached with a little room.
Right. I've been to one title company attached to it.
So, but that's good. You know, like, you could have a lot of disputes. And the thing about Justice of Peace is great. Well, in Jefferson Parish, it's Judge Cusimano,
right.
Who's in the Elmwood building, I think, on the I forgot which floor.
He's on the fourth floor. He does a great job.
Yeah, he does. He gets you in there.
He gets you in and out. And they know, and his staff is so helpful.
Yeah. And he gets to the heart of the matter with compassion.
With compassion.
And empathy. But he gets to it. But it's basically, it gives access to people who do have legal disputes that don't want to hire a lawyer.
Right.
That, you know, and a lot of disputes involve maybe a couple of $1,000s. You bought a product. You bought a vacuum cleaner.
Right.
You bought a computer that doesn't work. You bought something, or you have a repair person who didn't finish his job, and or somebody committed a couple of $1,000s of damage. You don't want to hire an attorney because the cost that you spent, money you spent on the attorney, is more
right than you can
than you get back.
So
a lot of times when people call and have disputes with someone, you know, something that's less than $5,000, I tell them, you know, just go ahead and
right. And there's so many people, and they're representing themselves or having their own claim that it's not, you know, it's not overwhelming. I watch people walk into St. Tammany Parish and, you know, 22nd JDC trying to represent themselves, and it's just a nightmare for them. And it's, you know.
It's a lot of procedures.
It's a lot of procedures you're supposed to, you're assumed to know if you're representing yourself. And, well, you know, our judges do the best they can, but they are going to get those clients who have attorneys on the clock out of the way first. And
yeah.
So
yeah, and you know, certain, and you know, like on complex cases, like we'll get all kinds of calls because you do the show and you get interesting different calls, but they'll say, you know, I have this complex dispute involving a lot of money and a lot of different issues, and it's, you know, it's for maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I want to represent myself, and just tell me what I need to do. And I'll ask them. I said, look, if you need brain surgery, are you planning on conducting your own brain surgery too? I mean, it's just hard to do it yourself.
Yeah,
but
it won't.
But if you got a different type of dispute that's less than $5,000, you can do that.
Yeah, especially an eviction or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you said, a computer doesn't work or something, you know, a minor issue in the eyes of the law, but not for the person whose issue it is.
No, but it is. And it means a lot. So.
Sure. Everybody's claim means a lot.
So, let's see, in Orleans Parish, they have a program where if you file for a, like, justice of peace, they'll appoint an attorney hear your case on the second floor. Yeah, and he sort of meet with him and he sort of goes through it. And so there's in Jefferson Parish, Judge Cusimano, and some of the outlying parishes are, you know, they have justice of peace.
Right.
Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, all things legal. You know, I was telling, we're talking about 4th of July and history. And history is complex.
It is complex.
It's very multidimensional. And they should teach it in school, but that's another thing. But anyway, here's another fact about 4th of July.
Okay.
Fireworks have always been a major part of 4th of July.
We were talking about that last night.
Back into 1777, they started fireworks in Pennsylvania.
Do we know why? That was a question last night. Why?
Just celebrate the independence. Happy birthday, United States. So they started on the first birthday of the United States in 1777. But fireworks in 1884, they had miners in Swan, Colorado, who were hacked off that they didn't have fireworks. So you know what they did to celebrate?
What?
They blew up the post office.
That was a big old firework,
I mean,
huh?
I mean, which is, I mean, so, you know, it's sort of disconcerting to see some of the things that are happening right now, you know, with the violence. But that's always been historical. We've always had these uprisings that come, pop up at times. And so this goes to show you, you had a bunch of hacked off miners, didn't get fireworks, so they blew up the post office. So
there you go.
It shows you people do act irrationally. And also, 4th of July did not become a national holiday until 1870, which is a couple of years after the Civil War. And that was during the General Grant administration. See, General Grant's a complex person.
He is. Listen, they're all complex.
Because you're like, General Grant, here's the deal with him, all right, is he went to West Point. After he went to West Point, he fought in the Mexican War. Tough. And then after he got out of the U.S.-Mexican War, he ran a dry goods store. What's a general store? A hardware store, in our terms.
Right.
And he had a little liked to drink a little bit.
Okay.
Way too much. So then, you know, Lincoln was tired of dealing with these armchair bureaucratic generals who didn't know how to win wars. I mean, they were all just, you know, Washington talk, you know,
right.
just talk, you know,
bureaucrats,
red tape. So he's looking for this general, and he finds this, you know, this alcoholic general who's running a dry goods store, and he knew how to win wars. So he won Vicksburg, you know, lost Shiloh, won Vicksburg. And then they put him in charge, and he ended up beating General Lee. I mean, General Lee was General Lee when it came to war strategy. He was like, you know, just one of the greatest, you know, one of the greatest strategists of, you know, all time. In fact, the Saints' offense is built on some of the principles of General Lee. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
No, I just made that up. Well, football is based on war strategy.
I know it's based on war strategy.
So then, you know, so then he won the war. He was a great general that Lincoln found. Lincoln was pulling his hair out, finding a general who wouldn't give him bureaucrat speech.
Right.
And win the game. Just win the game.
Right.
And then he became president. And then he was a mess during the president. He is the most one of the most corrupt administrations ever. And he died broke. Very complex life.
Right.
You can't just
not
put
all
him,
good, not all bad.
He did some wonderful things. So you know, so it's very complex.
Right.
And so, you know, that's just history.
Right.
And
history,
you just can't put it in
the
bucket.
And lives are messy and dirty.
It's messy and dirty. And it's hard, you know, when you look back on it, you know, you just can't put them in a bucket and say they're good or bad.
Right.
But, all right.
We have a caller.
We have a caller? Who do we have? Who do we have?
We have a caller who's got a question about General Lee.
Okay. Hey, Jay, you on the phone. Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
All things legal. Hey, my man. How you doing, bro?
Can you hear me? How you been?
Good. Our favorite police officer.
Yeah. First off, I got a friend of mine. He's a DA, and he says, I give Albert a hard time by going to Milne Boys Home, you know? And I'm up here like, well, Doug gives him a lot more hard time about having a few, you know?
I just do it when he's not here.
He's probably still sleeping.
I do it when he's waking up with a headache, you know?
So. I just want to tell you, I like history too, and I think if I'm right, Lincoln really wanted Robert E. Lee to run the Union Army, yeah.
Well, actually, Robert E. Lee had offers from both sides. He was like, you know, Drew Brees and free agency, you know, they're like,
right.
He, in the North and South. And what came down to General Lee is he had allegiance to his home state of Virginia, but he was very conflicted on that decision. And
he right. 'Cause he just, he had a hard time deciding, according to what I've read. And, because you're totally right. Because he was, like, number one in his class at West Point and stuff.
And one of the things you brought up is one of the things that was very important after the Civil War, and what Lincoln wanted to do, and they had some conflict after, is after the war was over, they wanted restoration. They wanted reunification of the states. And that required a lot of forgiveness and a lot of saying, hey, we've had our disputes, but let's come together and let's go on as a nation. And, you know, and in essence, you know, Robert E. Lee started Washington and Lee University, mm-hmm. and he was the chancellor. And, you know, he had some things that happened where he lost his land and that sort of thing. So, you know, again, history is not simple. And it's not just, you know, I would dare say that many of the people throwing, you know, throwing statues in the river have no idea as to who the person is and why they're doing it, except the fact that it's just
somebody told them.
So somebody told you them
are,
that.
You are absolutely 100% correct.
Now,
and I'm sure we're boring maybe not a lot of people, but if any millennial is listening, they don't even.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I would feel better, at least if they studied history and threw the statue in the river
with full knowledge.
With full knowledge, maybe
right.
you could
because
have a discussion about it. You know, you
they probably wouldn't do it if they really knew what was happening.
But
you
that's
know?
Why they quit teaching history in our schools.
But yeah, so
I didn't realize that because I've been out of high school for what. 48 years.
Well, yes, that's right. Well, I always talk about Brian Altobello, who you're friends with, right? He's my history teacher.
Well, you got a good memory, man.
Oh, yeah, I know. But he was my sophomore history teacher at De La Salle. And I will tell you, he was the most phenomenal history teacher. And I learned so much about America. And, you know, the development of America was ugly. I mean, democracy is by definition ugly. And, you know, people have the freedom to disagree, vehemently disagree. And when people disagree, it does get ugly. And so, you know, I hope in the future that we have a lot of contentious issues on the table right now. And what bothers me is everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got their political point of view. What bothers me now is you can't argue about it. In other words, if you argue a debate about it and say, if you debate about it, there's a label put on you, you know, on all sides, you know, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, rather than saying, hey, let's have a conversation and discussion. And a lot of times.
Right. And the thing is, before you tear and down, that'll be, you know, get too political about, you know. You just got to know what you're talking about, and I'm not getting into that. But you see, Brian, I tell you what, him and I, we'd eat together. Well, that sounds a little weird, but
no, I know.
No, we drop out, and I could talk to that guy for hours, you know, about history and stuff like that. He's so knowledgeable and stuff, you know, but. Tell Al that I'm sorry about according to my DA friend. Tell him I'm sorry about sending him to Milne Boys Home.
All right, I will tell him. I will tell him.
I bet you don't.
You're probably right. I'm just saying that just to be. I'm just saying that. So there you go.
I will
remember
y'all.
Now. All right, Jay.
Okay, have a great day.
Thanks for the call. You know, it's interesting. I just want to follow up. I think we need to have discussion. And you know what? You're a lawyer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
When you get in a case and they're arguing, do you feel offended at times?
No.
Do you feel, like, uncomfortable with the other side's argument? In other words, there's a
sense.
Not
from a personal standpoint,
but
I like to win.
Yeah, but, I mean, when you have debate, like, if you take a side, you know, when you hear the other side, it doesn't make you feel good.
Oh.
And so that's, you know, but you have to have debate. That's what law, practicing law, you have debate on an issue before you come to a resolution.
Well, and the reason for debate is to open up your mind to think maybe there is another way, or there is another opinion, or there is another way to look at it. That's the reason for debate, because otherwise you're just each talking to each other. You're just talking
at
each other.
I mean, think about if you go to court and the judge says, I'm only going to take one argument on one side.
Right, I don't want to hear the other side.
And the other side, we're going to, you're invalidated.
Right.
You're illegitimate and you canceled. I mean, that would not be debate.
No.
And I think our society needs to have that debate right now about all the issues on the table.
Sure, I do too.
So that, because if you hear the other side, and you know, it's just the process. And often the process is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we have cases before you go to trial, getting there is often an ugly process.
It's a very ugly process.
It's like making sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult at times.
But at the end, if everybody follows the protocol and the rules and is professional and is respectful, you usually wind up coming out with an outcome that most parties didn't even realize was available.
Right. So it's just sort of interesting because you know, our country's birthday was yesterday, and it was, I mean, if you have to have an appreciation of if you're a lawyer, as to what the foundation of our country is.
Sure.
And so there you go. But there you go. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas got a question. Hey, Thomas, you're on All Things Legal with Doug Censeri and Michelle Demers Censeri. Thomas.
Yes, sir. In my backyard, I have a huge oak tree and then several smaller, I don't even know what kind they are. There's a fence line between my neighbor and I. Her son and her, she's 80, and he went out there and cut one tree down. He had to reach across the fence and cut it down.
On your side of the property?
On my property.
They cut the whole tree down or just some of the branches?
He cut it. The fence is 4 foot high, so he cut it about 4 feet.
Well, did he cut what's on his side of the fence, or did he cut the whole tree down?
I mean, not from the base, but he basically killed the tree.
Okay, yeah, and that's one of the things that the issues are when you, I guess what he should have done, and sometimes you could trim a tree that is extending on your side of the property and not harm the integrity of the tree. Because
yeah, this was 100 feet from their house. It had no issue with in a hurricane blowing on their house.
Well, did what he do, you said what he did basically killed the tree, is that correct?
He cut it 4 feet. It was probably a 12-foot high tree, and he claimed it was a poison oak tree. Well, there's no such animal.
All right. Well, if you're telling me that he came on your side to prop, if he cut,
he reached over the fence.
Yeah. Well, that would probably be a violation. And the tree is dead now, right? Or is it still up?
It's substantially shorter.
No, he wasn't supposed to do that. I mean, he could have trimmed the tree on anything that extended on his side of the property to the extent it wouldn't damage the integrity of the tree. But he couldn't do it in such a way that it would kill the tree. So, he would have some type of, you know, civil liability for that under that fact scenario. The question is, you know, what remedy do you want? Do you want to get another tree planted and assess him the cost? That's pretty much the issue, or what would be the loss of the owner for not having that tree?
Yes, sir. I would like to get another tree planted.
Okay. What parish are you in?
I'm in Jefferson Parish.
All right.
I live 9 Mile Point,
which is unincorporated. Right by the UP Long Bridge. You know, your remedy would be, if you wanted to pursue it, he wasn't supposed to do that, as explained by you, is you could go to justice of the peace. And you could file a claim saying, number one, he cut my tree down to the extent that even though it was cut on his side, to the extent that
was cut on my side of the fence.
On your side, and that you have a loss of enjoyment of the tree, plus you have to plant another one, and whatever value that would be. But you're going to have to prove it, and you're going to have to, you know, with pictures and any type of other evidence, but you have the opportunity to have that redress with the justice of peace. But the problem is he's already done it, so your remedy now is what is the damages for him doing it?
Well, it happened July 20th, and I called the police, and they came out and made a report.
Yeah, the police, it's a civil matter. It's not a criminal matter. So, So it happened. Yeah, if it happened July 20th, you got 1 year, so you'd have to file.
You have to file something quickly.
Yeah, if it happened last July 20th. So, well, thanks for break. Give us a call at a law firm at 504-837-1304 if you got any other questions. We got to go to a break. But thanks for the call there, Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back, Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. You can also call us at a law firm if you've got any questions at 504-837-1304. And then that South Shore in Metairie, 504-837-1304. And
on the North Shore at 985-624-9697.
Yes. And so, you know, the tree, I was thinking we hadn't had a tree question in nearly 2 weeks. But I think part of the reason Albert's taking off, too, is he's writing a treatise on trees. So
he does know a lot about trees.
He does. There's not a guy who knows more about trees extending on your other property than Albert Nico. So he is writing a book. It's going to be coming out on Amazon. It'll be
you and your tree.
You and your tree. We're coming up with a title for that. And I'm going to do the foreword on it.
I'm sure
I'm the last person who wants me to do a foreword. And I just kid. I kid with him because he's fun to kid with.
He's got a great sense of humor.
He's got a great sense. And I hadn't kid him. I mean, you know, I usually kid him about his playing quarterback at St. Paul. And, you know, the fact that it was 3rd and 27 and he was still running the ball. So he played quarterback. I didn't even play. So there you go. So I'm just, there you go. But, you know, so we had a good birthday celebration.
We didn't watch, though, and I had been kind of seeing on social media the whole thing at Mount Rushmore with the president and the first lady.
Yeah, it was quite a
show. They had a big fireworks, and she had some kind of dress that was the design was children had drawn how they feel when for some kind of issues, and it was supposed to be a beautiful dress. It was done by an American designer.
Was the fireworks show bigger than the one I put on last night?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure it was very close.
It was probably very, because you probably could see it across the lake. From ours.
Yeah, we're hoping one of our children who was in Slidell could see it.
Yes, we were trying to do that. So, and I think it was okay for me to shoot fireworks, huh?
I think it was okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
The neighbor only came out a few times.
They did. All right. The tree, we put the fire out in the tree.
We did.
It was no big deal. We're just kidding. There's no fires, no nothing. But actually, and we only got a couple minutes, so we're just filling time. And LSU football, we're still seeing. You know, the only problem, we got Miles Brennan as the new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's missing a lot of good work.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the football players are home right now.
Right.
Because a lot of them aren't in school, summer school.
You were in the gym with an Alabama player yesterday.
Yes. So, yes, we were. He wasn't allowed in. No. But, so, you know, a lot of kids are home. And you see, Miles Brennan really, I know he's doing some work informally with some of the team. But it's just, I think this year in college football is going to be very interesting because you're going to have more upsets than any other year because the teams hadn't practiced.
Right.
And you're going to have a more variation as to, you know, outcomes are going to be a lot less defined because you're not going to have all these teams that are practicing.
Can they practice right now?
No, well, they can.
Not because of COVID, but just because of the rules.
They're doing whatever it means, social distancing practices, whatever that means.
How do you play football in social distance?
Well, I think, I don't know. But they're doing what they can to get ready.
Get your linebacker 6 feet apart.
I know.
With masks on.
I know. They're going to have to work it out. And so, like I said, this is in southern United States, you're going to have football this year. Some way, somehow. So there you go. All right. Well, again, if they want to call you North Shore, the phone number?
985-624-9697.
And the South Shore, 504-837-1304. So we'll be back next week on All Things Legal at 8 o'clock. So we'll see you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.